Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for those amazing testimonies, Pastor Fred, Pastor Steve, so many others. God, you have just ministered to this body for decades and decades. And Lord, we come this morning to hear. We pray for our pastor as he's in Costa Rica. You would anoint his time, bless the body there, bring back safely, Lord. Pastor Love and the ski trip with the young people, minister. And then, Lord, as we come to hear your word, help us, Lord, to put aside anything, any detail, no matter how big or small, that we would receive with meekness your engrafted word. Thank you for Pastor Shabelli, his life, his meditation, his study, his example. Lord, bless this message and bless our hearts in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, you may be seated. I want to give a shout out to Leah Moore. I was thinking about you today, praying for you, and I saw your face. It was like seeing the face of God. She's a great woman of God. She has a great husband, too. It was her in my mind today. So I remember all the years she was secretary in there with Pastor Schaller, and I never heard an unkind word from her mouth in years. She's perfection in a position. Anyway, when it comes to, I was leaving the house today, and my wife said to me, number one, your pants are too short. Number two, your tie doesn't match your shirt. Number three, the coat doesn't go. She said, come over here. And she redid everything, you know. She goes, like, one of these days, she says, how old are you? I said, 70, going to 72. She goes, when do you think it will happen? I said, heaven. You know, like when you minister in certain parts of the world, third world, you wear what's clean, not what matches. So you don't even think about like matching this or that, you know. So, Pastor Eugene read a great portion of scripture. I know that we've heard it many times. We've read it many times. We've thought about it many times. But I looked at it today as it was like the first time I had seen that this morning. And it really struck me. He says 18 things. He says, in all these things, say that, in all these things. See, we're not more than conqueror without all these things. In all these things, we are what? More than conquerors. In all, more than. Many times I've wanted to try to get away from a lot of things. Have you ever had that happen to you in your life? You think if things would just change, my health would change, my finances would change, change partner, husband or wife, change job, change location, change this and change that. And we feel that if we would just change, and God is saying, you know what? You get to the next place, it's going to be the same. I had a job in a prison for murderers under 18 years of age. And that was not a what I would call a fun job. It was a job given by God, but it was interesting. And the man I was working for, I always remember his name. His name was Conrad. And he was a miserable boss. I mean, he would like never let you go early, always make you stay late, gave you the lousiest jobs, was always swearing and vulgar. And I said, I'm out of here. I'm getting out of here. And I applied for another place, stayed there 2 days, and found out that that guy was worse than I was working for. So I said, can I go back to my old job? And I realized that God is in the business, spiritual business, of changing me. Are you with me? He's changing me. And Paul is saying to the church of Rome, which was under tremendous persecution, as you well know from reading that, there was about 125 of them in the church of Rome in a city of 4 million that worshipped Caesar and gave sacrifice and all these different things they did towards Caesar. And here they were, and they were actually not living above ground but underground. They lived in the catacombs and would surface only for certain reasons. And so Paul is writing them a very encouraging letter. And he's saying to them that in all these things you are more than a conqueror. Like, I would like to go from Rome to Cyprus or maybe to some island in the Pacific and get out of this. Get out of here. And a location change would make all the difference. But it's in all these things. We are more than conquerors, not without all these things, within these things. You know, there's one who has been defeated. And his name is, he's given actually six names in Revelation chapter 12. He has six titles for his name: Satan, devil, accuser, deceiver, serpent. He's given six names. And the Apostle John, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, talks about him and says, we have overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, amen, yeah, by the word of the testimony, and they love not their own life unto the death. But see, he's been defeated. Can you say that? He's been defeated. But see, the defeated one wants to project defeat on me. And I'll bring you into this too. And the defeated one wants to project defeat on you. He wants us to look at what we're experiencing in life and begin to think defeat. And then begin to live defeat. I wonder how many people that are out there, even that are born again, live defeated lives, with defeated thinking all the time. And Jesus says something in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 21. They came back, the 70, and they came back and they had great joy. They said, hey, even the devils are subject unto us at your name. He says, that's great. He says, I beheld Satan like lightning fall from heaven. And how quick Satan's defeat was in heaven? Like lightning. God dropped him like a lightning bolt. Right? He's going to keep dropping him, by the way. There's actually, if you look at it, there's a six-position drop by the enemy. He's going down six times till he gets to the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Six times. Woo! Down, 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 down. I like it. Down. I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He's been defeated. But he's a liar. And because he's a liar, as we go through our Christian life, he would like to project towards us with demons and the world, and then using our old sin nature, which has also been defeated. Don't tell me about your flesh, it's crucified. Romans 6:6, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. By the way, the word frustrate is the same word for divorce. I'm not getting a divorce from grace. Are you with me? Dead. I had an uncle that ran a funeral home. I won't say why. And I used to hang around there with my cousin, Joe. And I used to have the bad habit when I was only a kid now, so don't take this wrong. It's like, you know, 12 years old, I used to, like, you know, they'd have the bodies there, and I'd always search the pockets, and sometimes I'd find 20, 30 bucks, something like that. You know, what are they going to do with it? You know? Then I'd like to talk to them, like, what do you got to say for yourself? Nothing. The person's gone, right? They're to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord if they were a Christian. They're not there. They're dead. And the Bible says what about me? For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Amen? But the enemy tries to use the old sin nature and project defeat. This is who you are. You're, by the way, say this, I'm not my past. All these psychological, I want to call them like evolutionaries, because they might, I think they do resemble monkey thinking at times. They always want to try to bring up somebody's past and have you go through your entire, through the memories and all this. You know what? Forgetting those things that are behind, Paul says, Philippians 3:13, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, some people are going to, you know, don't like what I'm saying, which is not going to really bother me that much, you know. And really, it's too late for that, you know. But it's amazing. I'm not my past. Amen? Amen? I'm victorious over my past. Past is gone, isn't it? Moses killed an Egyptian. David killed Uriah the Hittite. And Paul killed Christians, and they wrote the Bible. God used three murderers to write 60% of the Bible. I am not my past. I'm not my sin. I didn't hear you say that too loud. I'm not my sin. Yes, I'm a sinner, but I'm not my sin. That's not my identity. I'm not my old sin nature. I'm not what the world says I am. I'm not what my culture says I am. I'm not what my family says I am. I am what I am by the grace of God. Are you with me? But we live in defeat. People live in, they live defeated lives. Romans chapter 7 is an amazing chapter if you get to verses 23 through 25. He says, there's a war going on in me. And he says, every time I wish to do good, I find evil present with me, oh wretched man that I am. He calls himself a taliporos man. I have no ability to do anything. I'm a wretch, a wretched man. Who shall deliver me from this body of sin and death? I thank God through Jesus Christ. I'm excited this morning. I don't know about you. You want to sit there as a bump on a log? Feel free. I'm excited about being victorious in God. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Yeah. I'm not a Pentecostal, and I'm not a Baptist. I'm a Christian. Okay? Are you with me? And this is important to understand as a believer and not live a defeated life. And Paul, it says, if you look at the Romans 7 sometime, it says 27 times the word I is used. I. It doesn't appear in Romans 8. The word spirit appears 20 times in Romans 8. What happened to that man? He lived in the victory of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Hmm? Hello? You know, I've ministered for 32 years in an area where there's been tremendous war, poverty, illiteracy, all kinds of things, from genocides to you name it. And it's so important to have a message of victory. Are you there? Why? Because you just can walk around with no money, with no education, and living in poverty upheavals every other day. You never know what's going to happen. And it's so easy to live in projected defeat. Even based upon actual defeat, the projections come. And the enemy is the author of them. And so how important was it for us constantly to live in a victory life, you know? Sometimes you say to people, how's it going? Well, you know what's going on? I don't want to know what's going on. I want to know what's going in God. Hello? Say, oh, that's hyper-spiritual. It's really, no, it's calling those things that are not as though they were. That's Romans chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, in case you wanted to know. I'm not going to live a defeated life. And they went out. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And I don't walk around like, you know, the devil, demons, the devil. No. I love this verse. Watch this verse. Are you where? Are you here this morning?
Yeah.
Garvey, are you here? All right, I saw you. Greater is he. You know what I'm going to say, Pastor Cooper? Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. I don't care about the world anyway, you know, the news and politics and all that's going on. And so many people are so wrapped up in it because of all kinds of things that they watch. And what happens is in their mind, they get defeated by the news if you're not careful. That's why I read the Bible, because the Bible shows me victory. Huh? Shows me the victory of God. The victory of the cross. It is what? It is finished. It's in the perfect indicative passive, which means it's an action that's eternal. It's absolutely true, and you receive the action of what God did at the cross. Are you with me? We are victorious. I ran two homes for heroin addicts. Loved it. Loved it. Loved it when they robbed my car. Loved it when they used my car for armed robberies. I didn't care. I just talked about victory. Victory. Some of them are pastoring today. You know why? They were not dealt with according to their sin, their failure, their experience, their culture, their background, their prison time. They were dealt with as victorious people in Christ. Are you with me? That's how you handle people. That's how God handled me. Are you listening? Are you listening? We are victorious people. He said in 1 John 2:13, you young men. That's me too. Young men. Yes. Yeah, you got it. Young men, you've overcome by the word. The word overcome is nikeo. I was going to wear my Nike sneakers today, but I decided it just wouldn't look right. You've overcome by the word. You've overcome by the one who lives in you. Greater is he that's in you, Pastor Steve Murillo, Pastor Fred Ellis. Greater is he that is in you than Dr. Finney. Thank God for Dr. Finney, but God is greater. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. That means Satan's in the world. He's the god of this world, the prince of the power of the air. But greater is he who lives in me and you than he that's in this world. So I walk around saying, I can't do that. I could never do this. I'll never be able to have victory. You live in patterns of defeat. Defeated patterns in the thinking, just they keep going from childhood and on and on and on, and people live these defeated lives. I took my granddaughter and her sixth grade students out on evangelism. That evangelism always cost me a lot. It cost me, you know, my flesh gets crucified. And they always, I said, what do you want today? Said, well, we want French fries, a hot dog. We'd like cupcakes. And I'm like, God. This time I brought money with me. I was embarrassed last time I had to pay. My granddaughter had to pay the bill. This time I brought money with me. And I was just hoping it was enough. And I had such a good time with those sixth graders evangelizing. It was awesome. They're so free. You know, when people start getting a little bit older, they start getting teenage-ish. They can become a little bit like, you know, different. A little bit different, you know. But the sixth graders are just having a great time. And I was talking to this guy, and this guy was, he was talking to LaRose. Is that who it was? He was talking to somebody, and then I came into the conversation. And he was saying, like, my life's a mess. I got no place to live. I got no job. I lost my wallet. I said, so what? Whatever. I can't do anything about any of that, but I can do something about your mental attitude. That you could live in absolute victory because God loves you, sir. And he listened for about 20 minutes. Started to cry and prayed with us. You know, it's amazing. Because you've got to bring in, and we bring our gospel as the gospel of what? Victory and power. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. But our message is a victorious message. Maybe you're around people at work and there's nothing but what? Defeat. Talk about it. Think about it. Speak about it. Smell it. You smell it. You can smell defeat. It's incredible. And God is saying, I want you to live in victory. Amen. Right? Now thanks be unto God, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses, I think it's 14 and 15 and 15 through 17. Now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. How often? How often? How often, Pastor Lou Kallenbach? Always. Now thanks be unto God. Actually, it says grace be unto God who always causes us to triumph. And by the way, that means leading a procession of triumph. That word triambo means I am in front of a procession of people proclaiming victory. Who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Well, when are you out of Christ? Never. I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish, right? In Christ, I am victorious all the time. Even if you think I'm defeated. I showed somebody, I've showed you this before, so I'm not losing my mind. I'm digging into my pocket. There's pens, there's candy. There's all kinds of things in here. Oh, I got it. My award at the Liberian graduation was this. They gave me this for an award. It's a bullet, okay, from an M something, I don't know, M1. I said, this is your reward. The guy was holding it like this. This is your reward, and thank you for coming to the graduation. This is what we're giving you as a graduation speaker, a bullet. I said, thank God it wasn't coming out of a rifle. They said, this destroyed our country. This saved it. Hallelujah. This saved our country. I don't know if you can't see it, but it's okay. So this was in Liberia. I'm not thinking about this. I'm thinking about this. It's not the bullet. It's the cross. It's the blood. It's the finished work. It's the life of God. Are you with me? I've got victory. You've got victory. And the defeated one wants to project defeat. Lost your job. Can never lose my job with God. Can't lose my calling or my purpose. Fire me. I went home one day and I said to my wife, I lost my job. And they got rid of me. She goes, you mean the one that you went to school for 6 years to get? I said, yeah. She goes, that's great. I'm like, what? She goes, that means God's got something better. I said, there's a woman that's living in victory. I'm living in defeat, and she's living in victory. Are you with me? Hello? Wives, look at your husband as victorious men. Amen? Treat them in victory. Husbands, look at your wife as victorious. As your children have what? Don't look at your children's defeats. Project them, elevate them, exalt them. Look at the victory that God has done and is doing in their lives. Are you with me? God. Jesus doesn't see defeat or sin. Jesus sees victory. By the way, the Father sees the Son. Son sees the Spirit. That's as simple as that. Oh, no, I got my eyes on what happened. You know what happened to me. You know what happened, what they did to me, what he did to me, what another Christian did to me. Oh, you poor, oh, you know what? What do you want me to do? Huh? God allows things to happen. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed that God allows things to happen in our lives so he can draw us to himself? That took a while for me to realize that. A lot of things happened. I realized what God was doing. I went back from a church. I went back from Africa in 1993. And my church, which I was in the beginning with about three people when that church began, they said, we have come to a conclusion, the leaders of the church, the new leaders, that it's better off that you're not here. I went home. I was like not happy. wondering, what did I do? I went on the mission field, I came back, and they don't want me to be here. Because I was connected to this church, more so than they wanted to be. And you know what? I went and I said to myself, God's got something greater. And I said to my wife, we're moving. She goes, where? Because we did a lot of moving. We moved to Africa. We moved back. We moved to Africa again. We moved back. We moved to Africa again. She said, where are we going? I said, Baltimore. She goes, really? Where are we going to live? I said, I don't know. And I personally don't care. I said, I got a U-Haul. We got some old couch, which is still in my basement. I've had it since 1971. And it doesn't smell. It's a Victorious couch. It's the only one that could take my whole body on it this way. And it was long. We put the couch in one chair. And some people that had kept some of my furniture didn't smell so hot, so I left it. And we drove to Pastor Ron Swingle's house. He's not here. He's in Silver Spring. And he took us in, and we began. And here we are today. You know what? It was a victorious thing that took place. It wasn't a defeat. It wasn't something to become introspective about, become emotional about, become upset about. We are victorious people. We have victory. But God wants us not to just have it in our thinking, but to proclaim it. I said to somebody yesterday, I went to visit them in a hospital place. And I said, repeat after me. Huh? And I said, I want you to repeat it loudly. He said, we're in a, there's people. I said, I don't care about people. I'm not going to die. Say it. I'm not going to die. I am not going to die. I said, I can't hear you. I'm not going to die. Well, I made him say it about 12 times. And you know what? He started smiling. He goes, you know what, Pastor Shabelli? I said, what? He said, I'm not going to die. No, really. And I know that's not the power of positive thinking like that ridiculous person has books on and talks about. But it's the power of God's thinking. God has not given you a spirit of fear, Timothy, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Don't be ashamed. Don't live in fear. Don't turn away. Confess what God says about you. I am what I am by the grace of God. I was telling, I taught something the other night in a rap session. I said, like, how come some people say this person is a beautiful person, a model from Hollywood or something, and this person is not good looking? Who has ever determined who is good looking and who is not? God says in the Bible, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. So God says everybody's beautiful. Don't give me this comparison thing. It's ridiculous. And how many people do everything they can to look beautiful when they already are? Now, I'm not against combing your hair. And you know, I don't know about coloring your hair, combing your hair. I'm not against any of that. I'm just saying, you know, that person's ugly. That person's beautiful. Who said that? Who made that? Who brought that in? Marty Vieira's beautiful to me. Even when he punches me in the ribs when I'm not looking. He always does it when I'm not looking. As if I don't know it's him. Paul has never lived in defeat. Peter didn't walk around saying, well, watch this. I'll keep repeating this. I'm a denier. 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 3.5 years I walk with him. I'm a denier. I'm a denier. I'm no good. I'm worthless. I'm a denier. Jesus invested so much in me. He said, you denied the Lord. That's what he said in Acts chapter 3. He stood up with power because he was living a victory life. He raised Lazarus from the dead. What do you call that? Victory. Are you with me? Victory. He met a woman at the well. He transformed her thinking into victory thinking. Nicodemus needed victory thinking. The man with 38-year infirmity needed victory thinking. The man born blind in John 8, victory thinking. The John 8 woman caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you. That's victory thinking. Are you with me? Huh? Sunday morning. Are you with me? Huh? Thinking in victory and not living a defeated life. That's why God gives us armor. 7 pieces of armor. Right? 7 pieces. The loins girt about with truth. Breastplate of righteousness. Are you there? helmet of salvation, gospel shoes, hello, shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, and throne of grace. He goes, you're going to be in a war. And it's going to be, it's a war. But when you know you've won, 2 Timothy 2:5 is a great verse. You know what it says? Run as though you've won. In other words, if you're in a race and you know you're the winner before the race starts, there's not a whole lot of pressure on you. I've already won. I got the trophy before I begin. I'm a Secretariat Christian. Wasn't he a horse? Wasn't he a horse who won the Triple Crown? Yeah, I want to ride him back at the and when we come back in Revelation 19. I know he's not a white horse, he's a red horse, but I would like to have his color changed so I could ride Secretariat back. What's wrong with that? Is anything wrong with that? No, God says we're coming back on white horses. I just want him to change his color. That's the horse I want. Triple Crown winner, right? And said he couldn't do it. Victory! Victory! And the woman that owned him, all she thought about was victory. She understood victory. And that's how we've got to think. In my family, am I leading my family in defeat? Talking about every problem and thing that's going on? Or am I leading my family in what? Victory! As a husband, in a marriage, as a wife, as a Christian leader, as a pastor, as a business person, as a person in a Christian school, as a student in Bible school, whatever I'm doing, am I thinking that way or am I living in defeated thinking and fellowshipping experientially with Satan? Because he's the defeated one. Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, 7 churches are told this. He that overcomes, you get 7 different rewards. He wants the church to overcome. Imagine going to a church. Well, I don't know what we're going to do. The world's wicked. The devil's out there. There's drug addiction, criminals, this and that. I don't know what we're going to do. Just close the church. You might as well close the stinking church. All it does is bring bad news to infect people's minds with a defeated attitude. Are you with me? Hello. This is so important for me to get this kind of thinking. I know who I am in Christ. I know who I am in the body. I know who I am in the Father. And this is not just for Pastor Shibeli or Pastor Schaller or Pastor Love or that. It's for all of us to think with God. Think with God. When I said to Pastor Stevens came up to me in 1983 on the stairs of 627 State Street in Springfield, Massachusetts. He said, are you still doing that street ministry? Working with alcoholic and drug addicts. He goes, yeah. He goes, when are you going to get out of that and become a pastor? What? You know what I said to him? I used to trust your discernment. You don't have any. I said that to Dr. Stevens. You know what he did? He went, when he ordained me, he reminded me of that. We got on our knees in Springfield, and he did the, I wouldn't be ordained unless he did it. He did the ordination, and he said, remember the stairs? He says, remember, I'll never do this. I was defeated. And my defeat was staying where I was. By the way, if God has called me to the next step, defeat is staying in the place that I want to stay rather than going on with God. Hello? That could be defeated. By the way, it was good and it was God, but now it's gone. It was good and it was God, but now it's gone. I'm not going to live in that. I want to live in victory in God. The children of Israel experienced victory right in Egypt. Remember Exodus chapter 4 through 10? God crippled the greatest nation on the face of the earth in a few days with 10 plagues. In case any arrogant country or European country or any country anywhere in America, even our own country, ever thinks that they can do without God, God crippled the greatest empire on the face of the earth in a few days with 10 plagues. But he protected the Jews in Goshen. And then he brought them out with a high arm. Exodus, right? Exodus 12 through 14. The blood came on the house. They were delivered. Then he brought them out. And they came out with a high and holy arm, singing praises to God, because Egypt was defeated and they were victorious. And God did it. Hello? It wasn't a governmental system that did it. It wasn't a human being that did it. It wasn't an organization that did it. It was God himself. It was Jesus himself. And as he stands in front of Joshua in Joshua 5, 13 and 14, Joshua is going to face going into the promised land. And he sees a man standing in front of him with a sword drawn in his hand. It wasn't in. It wasn't passively in his thing. No pacifist. Wasn't in. Christian pacifist. Christian pacifist. Christian pacifist. It wasn't in. He pulled it out. And he saw a man standing with a sword. And he said, are you for us or for them? And you know what he said? You know what Jesus said? Neither. Nay. I am not for you. I am you. I come as the head of the body. That's what the word captain means. Sar. S-A-R in the Hebrew. I am the head of the body and the heads attached to the body. Say this today. God, I am God. God is me. God is me. I am you. I am you. I put the Holy Spirit in you. Holy Spirit's God, not just a power.
Amen.
Are you listening?
Yes.
Come on, Sunday morning. Don't.
Yes.
Come on. You can get excited too. Don't think, oh, he's out of his mind up there today, you know. Can't wait. What time is this church service over? I need a sandwich. Well, I don't know. I'm giving you a gospel sandwich. And he said, I am you. And we're going to go in and we're going to defeat these seven nations. Just like that. Because I'm the captain of the host. And Joshua bowed and worshiped God. He worshiped him. The one who's given us victory over sin, victory over the devil, victory over the world, victory over the past, victory over wrong relationships, victory in our marriage, victory in our families, victory in our city, victory in our state, victory in our country, victory with the gospel message that we have. God's given us victory. And it's a gift of grace. And I'm not going to live a defeated life. I know, we sang that song in Liberia for years, I know no defeat. I know no defeat. Jesus is my captain, and I know no defeat. Father, thank you today. Thank you for victory. Thank you. He overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives. Thank you for victory. There's victory in Jesus. Wow. Ruth saw victory. Naomi saw defeat. Ruth said, I'll go where I go. Where you go, I go. Where you lodge, I lodge. Your God's my God. Your people are my people. Where you die, I die. Where you're buried, I'll be buried. And nothing will part you and me. Ruth saw victory. Naomi was a mess. She saw defeat. And then Ruth, victorious Ruth, attached herself to defeated Naomi and made Naomi victorious. That's what it takes. We thank you, Jesus. 2 Chronicles 20:12, Moab and Ammon comes against the children of Israel. And Jehoshaphat says, as he prays and sings, he says, we don't know what to do. And if we knew what to do, we don't have the ability to do it. But our eyes are on you. My eyes are on you. And there was a great victory. Father, we thank you today for victory. Victory in Jesus Christ. Thank you for victory. Let's just stand up and lift our hands to God. Thank him for victory. Thank him. Victory. Thank him for victory. Say, I'm not feeling it. It's got nothing to do with feelings. It's truth. Don't let truth fall. I've got victory. I'm not going to live a defeated life. I'm not going to live in a poor self-image. I'm going to live in a victorious image that God has given me freely in grace. I'm not going to live in projections or reflections from my old sin nature. I'm not going to live in what the culture tells me, what the world says, what the newspapers say, what people's evaluations are. I want to live in the victory of Jesus Christ. victory, absolute victory. We thank you. They're overcomers, positionally and experientially. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the victory of the cross. Thank you for the victory of the Spirit. Thank you for the victory of faith. Thank you for the victory of unconditional love. The victory that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus. What a victory we have. Never can be taken away. Cannot be stolen by a defeated liar. We thank you today. We pray that you bless our day today. Bring us back tonight with an expectation of more victory. In Jesus' name, have a great day. Amen.